tell me a photo joke.
All right. So so two photographers walk into the men's room, and one's a Canon shooter and one's a Nikon shooter. And the Nikon guy finishes up his business, and he zips his flap, and he heads for the door. And as he's leaving, the Canon guy, he looks at him and says, "Hey, excuse me, but us Canon guys, we wash our hands when we're done peeing." And then the Nikon guy says, "Well, yeah, but us Nikon guys don't piss on our hands."
And what did the Leica guy say?
I don't know. You probably had hand sanitizer.
I have someone to pee for me. Hello and welcome to episode 116 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany, and with me as always is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Rise and shine bright and early.
Yeah, daylight savings hit me hard this morning.
Chipper, yeah, so it's spring before, you get the idea.
Yeah.
We do it, there's a two-week lag time, two-week or one-week, I forget now, it used to be 2 weeks, now it might be 1 week, but there's a lag time between Europe and North America.
Right.
So we kind of get screwed over on that.
Yeah.
Lucky it's you this year.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
So scheduling note, that should be a hint to our listeners that are listening at the end of March, except for we've recorded early.
Right.
So if you're expecting news of the day, it's not going to happen. Wrong day.
Right.
Then the main reason for this is just our schedules coming up did not mesh. So we had to preload a couple so as not to disappoint anybody.
Right. Yeah, everybody really expects this to be live.
I think the bare minimum is they expect it to be there.
Right. That's true.
And thus it will be there. So,
okay.
Hey, guess what happened yesterday?
I don't know. Tell me.
I'm going to give you a hint. You're never going to guess. So, okay. I had a CF card go corrupt on me.
No.
And almost lost a whole bunch of pictures, ended up losing, I think, two.
Well, when you say it went corrupt, like you dropped it in the toilet?
No. Essentially, it comes down to, I believe the reasoning was, I got lazy or behind. I got really behind and just, I give out the advice to everybody. Whenever you take your card out, load it on your computer, before you start shooting again, format your card.
I do that.
Yeah, I normally do that, except I didn't this week. Just because for a whole bunch of reasons, no good reasons, but I was just busy and running around and couldn't be sure that I had everything backed up. So I continually loaded and reloaded without formatting.
Okay.
And got burned a little bit yesterday.
So what happens, like, when you go to your computer, something shows up, or does it show up on the camera?
Yeah, so it showed up on the camera the whole way. Like, I was shooting a whole bunch of, we had some friends over yesterday, they brought their kids, and so it was a great, it was actually really some nice moments happened, and we shot some nice pictures, and I got my flash set up out, and took some nice portraits of everybody. It's kind of what people expect when they come to my house.
Right.
Like, hey, we'll get free portraits out of the deal.
Right.
And so, anyway, so I do all that, and everything's showing up. I'm like, it's all showing up on the LCD screen. Life is good. Okay?
Yeah.
While the kids are still here, and there's still sort of mayhem going on at our place because there's a bunch of kids, I pop it in to just kind of copy them over, and they're not there. Now, all the other images that were there previously are still there.
Okay.
And I think, like, wait a second. Like, did I switch cards? Did I put the wrong card in? Because I have a number of cards. But nope, that wasn't it. It was the proper card. It was the right one.
Right.
And so I think, okay, well, I'm just going to eject it, pop it back into the camera, and see if they're there again. And I look, not there. All of a sudden, they've just disappeared.
Okay.
And so I think, oh, no. Like, what? Maybe it created a new folder. Because you can create different folders on your card and take pictures to different folders if you like.
Okay, yeah, I'm still with you.
I've never done that. So I thought, okay, maybe it happened by accident. I look, nope, there's only one folder, and it's just, they're just not there. So I panic a little bit, and more so, these pictures weren't the end of the world. Like if they no longer existed, you know, I wouldn't cry about it.
Right.
But down the road, if this happened at a very important event, I would probably, I'd pee my pants.
Yeah, it's a little disconcerting.
Yes. And so, especially since I didn't know the root of the problem. And so what I ended up doing is before I panicked, before I, I didn't erase anything, I didn't continue to shoot on that card. That's the one thing you do, just stop shooting. Because, okay, if the images are still there, you might be able to save them. If you start writing over top of them, now you're out of luck.
Right.
So I got out I fired up one of the programs I got a long time ago, some disk program. I forget when I got it, and did a recovery. It's some sort of recovery program.
Okay.
And it did find the files. Like, so it found a whole bunch of deleted files. Even though I have formatted the card in the past, it's a quick format, so basically the files are still there.
Right.
They're just not named properly and what have you. So, but it found a whole bunch of like 300 and something images that were still available.
Really?
And I was able to find, like, there's about 60 that I shot yesterday, and I was able to save 58 and a half of them.
Wow.
Yeah. So two of them basically were half images, so I just deleted them, didn't worry about them. But got the rest out, and then immediately formatted the card, and life was good, and I stopped sweating.
So even though you had formatted the card in camera since you took those pictures?
No. Once I knew there was a corrupt file or folder or whatever was going on, directory,
yeah,
I did not format.
Oh, okay, because if you had, then it would permanently be gone.
It might, surprisingly, not necessarily.
Really? See, I don't understand that.
Because I have formatted the card... I had formatted the card, call it 2 weeks ago, I'd formatted it.
Right.
Okay. During this process, I was able to find images that were on there I shot 3 months ago.
Wow. See, I see that part I don't understand.
Well, essentially, the way it works is, because formatting is very, very fast. If you hit format on your camera, generally takes, a couple of seconds at the most, depending how fast your card is.
Right.
And how big it is. Well, it doesn't actually go through and just wipe everything clean. What it does is basically goes and looks at those files and calls them gone. And says, okay, this space here is available to write on if you need it. You understand?
Yep.
So that it basically marks them. Now, if you then go and shoot, a few hundred, 500 pictures and fill your card, well, those other photos will be gone.
Okay.
But if you only shoot three or four and then format again, you could probably go recover those.
Okay. I get it.
So now you can. So the point is, if you take a bunch of pictures you don't want people seeing, don't just simply format the card and then sell it at a flea market.
Okay.
You're going to want to zero that one out.
Right.
But the moral of the story is, do not get lazy, because you're going to get burned. And this is the first time I've ever been burned on a CF card, but it only takes once to make you sweat.
Yeah, and so, you did, get it all back, or most of it back. So
everything I needed, I got. Yeah, like I said, two of the images were corrupt, and so they just wouldn't load. Like I could see in the preview, I could see about half of it, and then the rest was kind of greened out, like green blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, okay, well, that's the price you pay. But the rest of them I was able to save and move on. So, okay. Could you imagine that happening like at a wedding or something like that? When you have a pretty good idea that you're going to save the images, but you're going to think about it all day.
For sure.
So you're going to worry about it or not even know. Like you might fill that card and not know that you have a corrupt file. Or that's great. Now I'm just going to be up inside my head for some time. But on the other hand, I shot a bunch of film, I think we talked about, and that was not corrupt. Those images weren't corrupt.
Well, that's good.
So that worked out well.
You're kicking it old school.
I do enjoy that, like especially taking it to the playground and whatnot, because I don't worry too much about it. So, but we talked about that in ad infinitum.
And do you think the digital SLR users are sort of tapping each other on the shoulder saying, hey, look at that guy. He's got a film camera.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's funny you bring that up because I thought about it. If they think, you know, what's wrong with him?
Look at Grandpa.
That's, yeah, or hipster.
Yeah.
Because there is that certain aspect of, oh, I'm going to do it the hard way just for the sake of doing it the hard way. Right. And I'm not a fan of that. Like, if you don't really sort of appreciate the difference, then don't bother. Why would you bother shooting film?
Right.
But I'm also not prepared to shoot only film. I think I get a hipster pass, in fact, I'm not a hipster because I still shoot digital and love shooting digital. So I honestly
you need a T-shirt that says that when you're shooting film.
Well, I'll try to make it less wordy. Not a hipster.
still have digital.
Yeah, but I thought about it last night when I was processing a roll of film, and I thought really because I haven't done it in a while, it sort of took me a while to get everything, you know, mixed and get back into the swing of things. And I thought, wow, this is a lot of effort for 36 pictures.
Yeah.
You know, especially because even though the sun came out the other day, it's still relatively cold here and cold in the ground, which means the water that comes out of your tap is very cold here.
Okay.
Which means you have to get it at the right temperature before you can even mix the developer.
Oh, wow.
That's a hassle.
Yeah, that's that right there. That's where I shut it down.
All right. Well, that was a waste of time. Zing. Yeah. Did you shoot anything interesting today?
Yesterday, you mean?
Whichever. I guess yesterday. Yeah, yesterday for you.
We've had a day in between the last podcast. kid got a new bike, so I took a few pictures of Jack riding his first two-wheeler, but it's really a four-wheeler when you consider the little, you know, training wheels on the back.
Get those off there, man. Doesn't need them.
Yeah, but he's loving life. So for him, it's all about speed.
Yes.
So he's about getting where he needs to go super fast. But yeah, no, and I have to say that the bikes nowadays, like for kids, are awesome. Oh my God, like they're insanely awesome, the bike. So I'll probably post a picture later on Facebook of Jack riding his new sweet ride.
Is it a Kuwahara?
No, it's not.
Okay. No.
But it is kind of a BMX style, you know, red, shiny. It's awesome. So I wish I had that bike when I was four, he's not even quite four.
But did you have a Kuwahara when you were a kid?
No, but I wanted one.
Yes. I had one myself. I didn't have the hot rod one. Like in the movie, I had the Apollo Kuwahara.
Okay.
But because E.T. really made that, you know, it was like, if you're not riding a Kuwahara and eating Reese's Pieces, man, you are yesterday's news.
Yeah. I had a red Rally with a banana seat, so there you go.
See, now if you rode around that with a film camera, you'd be in.
Oh, yeah. The Rally was awesome. But then it was kind of like, I'm a joke. With the banana seat, I was a joke.
Yeah, but see, what you don't realize is then, you know, you could pick up chicks on that.
Oh, I should have, but I didn't.
Yeah, and that's what the other guys are like. You're not picking up chicks on your Kuwahara.
No.
So, there's that. So, well, I look forward to those pictures, man, because, yeah, getting your first bike, that's a big deal.
And let me just, the photo side of it is that, you know, the weather got nice here. Yesterday was a beauty day again, and we were shooting pictures in the middle of the day. So, yeah, I went back and used a little bit of high-speed sync. Hadn't done that in a while, and love it. The ETTL high-speed sync, haven't done that since the weather was nice probably last summer.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm sure that will come in handy again because we're out in the bright sun right overhead, and, you know, nothing wrong with the shadows, but they're super high contrast, so I wanted to be able to see his face. So snapped a few. I only snapped probably four or five pictures of him, just something to document that, yeah, he's now full-on riding a two-wheeler. And plus the training wheels, of course. So use the high speed sync and they looked great.
The good news about the shadows in March is early March, especially in the 49th parallel, is you still get a little bit of they're still a little bit long. The sun's not right overhead.
Right.
So it's not ideal. You still get contrasty situations. However, it's not just complete top lighting.
No, no, you're right.
Yeah. So that's good. Last week's Exivoku, we shot the cloud pictures.
Right.
So we left out the f-stop last week.
Okay.
So your image with the fishing boat.
Yep.
You shot that at an f6.3.
Okay.
Okay. Mine of me pointing at the alien invasion.
Right.
Or something. I think that's what it was. Something Orson Welles. I don't know.
Okay.
That was an f11. But then it also add two stops to that. So the camera itself was set to f11, but the filter probably added two more stops. So f22.
Okay.
Is what that is.
Okay.
Which is very small, which is why even at full capacity, full power, full zoom, 85 mil zoom on my flash, I still had to bring it within a couple of feet from me in order to get any light hitting me because of the f22.
Right.
So there you go.
Okay.
This week's photo challenge. We did. We talked last week about how to do a photo booth.
That's right.
And so this week we did a photo booth.
Right.
So you're up, buddy. Well, let's have a look at yours.
Okay. So this is Sarah and her grandpa,
mm-hmm.
my father-in-law. And this is, I think, in the truest form, probably what would happen with a photo booth is they decided to participate. I only did one shot of it, so I kind of took your suggestion and said, okay, think of in your head of, you know, four different expressions because we're going every 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, one take. They sat down. I put a little chair down, and Sarah sat on her grandpa's lap, and they kind of, you know, before they stuck the whatever toonie in the machine, they basically coordinated what their four shots were going to be, and we just did it every 2 seconds. I put the 2 second timer on the camera. So the camera's mounted on a tripod, and just like you suggested, camera was mounted on a tripod, one flash in a shoot-through umbrella mounted sort of camera left and from above, so you can see the sort of the direction of the shadows underneath their chins and their hair on the mm-hmm. on the left of their faces. So just one flash up there, and they're about, you know, 6 inches from the wall because the chair is pushed right up against the wall. And yeah, and then shot with the 2 second timer on the camera, just pushed it as soon as the shutter went and the flash went, just pushed it again and again. They can see on the camera kind of it blinks and then it fires. So that's the T2i on a tripod with the 50 mil lens on it. So
great.
And the reason I chose that instead of the full frame is more or less because I wanted to use the 50 mil lens again. Like I just, you know, when you get something new, you just super eager to use it all the time.
Like a bike.
Yeah, like a bike. So I was like, yep, I'm using the 50 mil. So yeah, and then the T2i on the tripod. So that's it. So they did four different expressions, one take. We didn't repeat it because they were doing other things, and I thought that this was perfect because, you know, I got four different expressions. They're in the frame, and that's probably something that would happen. I don't think you'd redo it if you were at a photo booth.
No do-overs, man.
Yeah, so there you know, it is.
There's a whole bunch of things I forgot to mention in last episode, like as if it wasn't long enough.
Right.
But I realized after we hit print on that one, I shoot in manual mode. I didn't mention that.
Okay.
I shoot in full manual mode with manual...
Which I did.
Yeah. Yes, I think... I figured you went ahead and figured that out. But I dialed that in first, and then manual flash, obviously, as well.
Yeah, yeah.
But also what I didn't... Probably should have mentioned was I do a manual focus.
Okay.
Or at least if you want to autofocus, just autofocus once and lock it. So if you're using back button focus, then you can you know, autofocus once, and then you never have to worry about it again.
Right.
But if you're not, switch over to manual focus. Make sure you get focus once, and you can use live view. It's what generally what I do is I'll use live view, get in, right in, focus razor sharp, and then do not touch focus at all.
Right.
The rest of, as long as no one touches it the rest of the evening, it's going to be identical. And, you know, some stuff's going to be out of focus, potentially. You know, if people move closer to the camera or away if they can, but that's okay. That's how it would really happen.
Right.
So, and the other thing I forgot to mention is that I like to get a decent aperture. So,
okay.
I don't know if we talked about this. It seems to me
We didn't talk about it, but I just kind of assumed that and chose a aperture that was going to give you a little bit of wiggle room if they moved a little forward or back.
Right. So you went with 7.1, which without mentioning, I tend to go with 8, which is almost the same.
Right.
So I usually dial it into 8. Gives you a nice depth of field, nice sharpness in the lens, and then that's it. You go. So those are the things that add that to yesterday's show somehow.
Okay.
If you want to just edit it in yourself at home, that would be handy.
Well, in case anybody has just run out from last week and done a whole bunch of photo booth pictures, little amendment to make.
Yeah. Yeah, if you got burned on that one, though, you're going to remember for next time.
That's probably true.
While you're egging my house. Uh-huh. So I like these. This looks like a real photo booth.
Thank you.
This looks color pictures. I went black and white.
Yeah, I saw yours. So let's talk about yours now. Let's
talk about mine. Now, I had planned on doing mine during the photo session with the kids yesterday when my card went corrupt. The reason I didn't wasn't the corrupt card. It was just because, as you know, when you have a whole bunch of kids running around, it turns into a madhouse very quickly.
Right.
This isn't really parenting tips because this is kind of, hey, thanks, Captain Obvious. Thanks for telling us that. But I had planned on, I was like, oh, you know what? It's going to be awesome. And have all the kids do the photo booth. They'll be right into it. They were not into it. So once everybody left, my wife was nice enough to volunteer to get in there with me.
Right.
So I did the exact same thing you did, except for I had to lean forward and push the button on the 2-second timer each time.
Right.
And did the exact same thing. Just 4 pictures, no do-overs, and that was that.
And so pretty much same lighting setup, and you already mentioned the aperture. So is this the full frame or is this the 40D?
I went full frame.
Okay.
Mainly because my 40D, despite me shooting my mouth off that I had fixed it, is now behaving badly. So,
and this is the 85 mil?
Yeah, this is the 5D 85 mil F8. And we're on, that's it.
Okay. I'll tell you what I like about your photo that's different than my photo.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a little bit of a tighter crop. And so, I guess you go either way, whether you like that. But I like the fact that you left that little gap between your heads in every picture to see that shadow.
Right.
Because, that's the one thing. When I looked at yours and I looked at mine, I'm like, oh, you don't really... That tightness feeling you get from that shadow on that wall, which, again, because they're closer together, I miss in my photo.
Yeah.
So, again, just one of those things that I guess it's a preference, but it does sort of suggest, like you say, in a photo booth, that really cramped feeling just because of that shadow. So, it's hard to get everything you want because, again, I wanted to see both their faces and, in the frame. And I didn't care if I cropped shoulders and stuff, but I wanted to see their faces. But then when I saw yours, I'm like, yeah, it's okay if you lose half or whatever, even 3/4 of a face, because it's still, you get the idea either way.
So. Right. That's the irony here is that your pictures are better photos. Like if you just were to compare one of your photos to one of my photos out of this context, you'd think, okay, well, yeah, Adam's is clearly better. We have, nice, pleasing lack of shadow on the wall. It's framed nicer. But in this case, I happen to like the imperfections.
Yeah, no, I know, yeah. I agree. So yeah. When I did mine, I put it up. I'm like, I really liked it. Then I saw yours. I'm like, yeah, it's more of a photo booth.
I believe me, the first 12 times I've done the photo booth, they looked exactly like yours,
right?
Because the instinct is to like, no, I'm going to do it properly. And I didn't really crop my images. Like I basically cropped them in camera.
Right.
They're as shot. So I didn't go in later on and manipulate them.
Yeah, and mine are exactly as in camera too. And I actually, after I saw yours, I'm like, maybe I should maybe I should fix them, or not fix them, but maybe I should crop them tighter because I kind of liked how yours look. And then I thought, no, because then it gives us nothing to talk about on the podcast.
There you go. And then also Photoshop some shadows in the background.
Yeah.
Do some drop shadows.
No, well, but I think definitely, you know, it's something that I will change, make adjustments for next time, just to, yeah, to give it some of that feel. So that shadow in the middle is awesome. I love it.
Great. All right. Well, thanks. And then the end. Exivoku for this.
I got no more compliments for you today.
No. Don't. You save them. Let's save them till April. Yeah. So the Exivoku for this, I shot mine at ISO 400. Now the reason I did that is just to save flash. If I shoot at ISO 200 or 100, you're going to have to end up, you know, double or quadruple the flash output.
Right.
Which means your recycle time is longer.
Yes.
And so I would rather give up some ISO, which in this case, since you're shrinking the images down to, I don't know what you ended up shrinking yours, exporting yours at. I think mine were 195 pixels high.
I think mine were like double. No, mine were like 500, except for then they were even too big. So I had to shrink them down in Photoshop a bit. So.
Oh, that's right. You used the larger template. I actually shrunk the template down. And I was going to email it to you, but you were one step ahead of me and did yours. So
right.
If you look at your final one, the one I'm posting, you'll find that your images are about 192 pixels high.
Okay.
And so guess what? When you do that, you could shoot that at ISO 3200 and really not be able to notice.
Okay. I have one other comment I have to say is that I asked Sarah, who's I put them side by side, your strip and ours, and asked her which she liked better, and she chose mine. So
it might be biased because
maybe.
To be fair, the only person she likes better than me is herself. So
that's true.
No, wait, that sounds bad. The only person I like better than me is her. So her and I are in agreement on that.
That's right.
Yeah. So ISO 400, 85 mil, f/8 on a full frame. And Adam was ISO 200, focal length 50 mil, f7.1 on a crop sensor. And what was the shutter speed? That's what we want to know. That's what we left out, the shutter speed on this. So
okay.
I'm guessing you...
It's a big riddle.
It's not really a riddle. I think people are going to get this one.
Okay.
Which is the plan. The plan is for people to get it. So this week's topic, something you thought up.
Okay.
Catch lights.
Yes.
What are catch lights?
They're the little sparkle in people's eyes that you sometimes get lucky when you use a flash or you get some nice window light, but it's that reflection in someone's eyes that makes it look like their eyes are twinkling.
That's right. That's exactly what it is. I mean, they exist in real life.
Yes.
We don't always notice them because, I don't know, we're probably focused on our phones or something.
Right.
But they tend to add life to a subject.
Absolutely.
Otherwise you get like shark's eyes.
You know what's interesting though is before I got sort of, you know, very interested in photography, never noticed it really.
Right. We'll get to that. That's part of the plan.
Okay.
Is to like my part of my plan. That's not everybody's plan. One of the early people credited for, I guess, pioneering catch lights is an actress named Merle Oberon.
Okay.
Who, I guess the story goes, at some point, she's a very famous actress and then got in a car accident and had some scars. And then she'd married a cinematographer who came up with a light that was basically would be mounted just to the side of the camera, like a hard light directly on axis.
Okay.
If I understand correctly, which was designed to basically flatten out her face a little bit and eliminate some of her scars. But one of the side effects was have this really awesome catch light in her eyes. So I don't know if any of this is true, but it sounds smart when I say it. So okay. That's why it's called an OB. Yeah.
Great.
There you go.
This week in history.
you write that one down. Break that out of the party and just watch everyone stare at you and make an excuse to leave. That's what will end up happening.
Kind of like what's happening right now. Everyone just shut off the podcast.
Yeah.
Just, okay, we're done.
Except for Merle Oberon. She's all ears. Yeah.
We just got a new listener and a new like on Facebook.
A new like, yep. Obi likes it. So, in general, like if you're trying to, you know, take a photograph, are they necessary? Do you have to have a catch light?
Yes. No, you don't.
No, you don't. You can still have a great image if you don't have a catch light. But I like them.
I do too.
They add a little pop, and they make the eyes really stick out, and that's kind of just generally the focus of a portrait picture, or what makes people think, "Oh, wow, that's awesome." But a lot of like if the you know old masters like the Rembrandt, I haven't seen all of his paintings, but I don't think he tended to have catch lights because of the way he was lighting.
Right.
However. We seem to like them nowadays. So they show up in movies all the time, and it's kind of the goal. Now, what you said before, you never used to notice them until you got into photography.
Right.
That's what I mean, that's my goal when I try to take photos. When I take photos, I try to make them look natural and thus invisible.
Okay.
So invisible in the sense that if you look for them, yeah, you're going to see them. But if you don't know, you just like the image and you don't know why.
And that's what I was going to say. Before I was, you know, really looking for them, some of my favorite images of my kids, actually all of my favorite early image of my kids had them, and I didn't know why I liked the images so much. And then after we started talking about catch lights, and I started to look back, and I quickly realized that was the main ingredient that was common amongst those early images is just, you know, like I say, lucky catch lights.
Right. Now, sometimes you can do catch lights that really send a crazy pattern, like some of Dwayne's images with his fluorescent setup.
Yeah, yeah, he gets a really cool. Some cool catch lights.
Not invisible. Like, you definitely notice those.
Yes.
Though. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that those are not sort of indicative of real life.
Right.
So they do attract attention to themselves and sometimes make the picture more interesting. And they give up kind of neat reflections in the eyes. So, okay, what are some sources? How do we get these? How do we create catch lights on purpose? What's the number one, first one we're going to look for?
Probably your flash.
The sun.
Oh, the Adam sun. Said.
You want to take that again?
The flash? No, the sun.
Yeah. Well, before we even get into it, creating them, we're going to look for, the sun. The sun creates great catch lights. It can.
You know that scene in Tommy Boy where he just like beats himself up? Chris Farley was like, "I'm so stupid." And he just like, you know, punches himself in the head and he's so angry. Uh-huh. That's me about 3 seconds ago.
We don't take no for an answer.
Okay. And then everybody says no.
Yeah. Okay then. Yeah. Yeah, the rest of the episode is just going to be me and Adam reciting our favorite Chris Farley lines.
Yeah. And,
do you remember that time when you were with the Beatles? Yeah. Do you remember the Beatles? That was I like that one when he was the Chris Farley show or whatever it was called. Anyways, the sun. But how do we use the sun? How do we use the sun? If you're just going to have someone in direct sunlight squinting into it, you're probably not going to get great results.
Okay.
For catch lights. You're not going right. to get great results in general, usually. I look
this
for...
It's too bright.
Too bright. I look for, I like window light for this.
Okay.
So window light, the sun coming in through a window. Now you can position your, I mean, window light is the greatest of all time, bar none. It's kind of what we try to duplicate when we use our flash.
Right.
So if you position your subject sort of up near the window, you're going to be able to have some fall off and have them being dark. And the light from the window, if you position yourself correctly, you're going to look and you're going to see a nice reflection in their eye.
Okay.
Created by the sun hitting that window and that. So that's first place to look for catch lights.
So just put them near the window, turn them around in circles until you see the light and take your pictures.
I would suggest position them where they look good and then you're going to move a little bit in and out until you get the right angle.
Okay.
And right. And the good news about this is it's easy to see because it's a continuous light source. You don't have to guess. Like, you're not flashing the flash off and, you know, moving around.
Chimping the LCD.
Exactly. So you're gonna what you see is what you get.
Okay.
So that, or use a door, a garage door, the shade of a tree, possibly, like all these kind of open shade situations where you're going to have basically what is nice. If you can get like an open shade is to use a reflector.
Right.
So either a handheld one, which is going to give you good results, or what can work great is if you position your subject in open shade, if there is a, like the sun is, let's say, shining across the street and hitting a bright building.
Right.
It will likely give you some catch light in the eye. Now, these are all going to be kind of cool-looking catch lights. I mean, if it's a yellow building, you're going to get yellow catch lights because it's a reflection. You get the idea.
Right.
So that's something to look for. I actually look for those sort of situations where the light is hitting a building across the street quite a lot for a number of reasons. It gives you a really good effect. In this case, catch lights.
Right.
So
now, those catch lights look like the shape of the building?
They can, depending on the angle and you know, how open the eyes are and whatever, but you're going to get some good results.
Okay.
So those are some natural places to look for catch lights. Now, you hinted that we should probably create our own, and by hinted, just came out and said we should create our own.
I did.
Let's use the flash for that.
Okay.
When the flash, in this situation, the size matters.
Right.
If you got a bare flash, it's going to be a much smaller light source, and thus
smaller catch light.
Smaller. It's like you're reading the notes, but you're not.
No, I don't know where they are.
Let's see how far we can push this. Now you have a large umbrella. You're going to get
bigger catch light, probably shaped like the umbrella.
Probably shaped. That's the thing nowadays. Yeah, you are. Okay, now, but before we get into that, the closer to the subject, the larger the light source is going to appear.
Right.
Relative size, and thus larger catch lights.
Right.
Okay, larger reflection. Now, the kind of fun thing, and sometimes I like to show this to people because they can't really believe it, is with the crazy high megapixel cameras, 20 megapixel cameras, it even works at 10. If you zoom all the way into the eye, you'll see that umbrella reflected. Like, you'll see it very clearly that it's an umbrella.
Oh, absolutely. I do this all the time.
Yeah. Assuming you focused correctly on the eyes.
Right.
If you haven't, it's going to be a big blurry white thing. But don't worry, your picture will be lousy anyways.
Sometimes even if you zoom right in on it and you have sharp focus on the eye, you can see a whole bunch of other stuff in the eye too. Sometimes you can see yourself taking the picture.
That's right. Yeah, that's a strange phenomenon now with the super high res pictures, but... And I guess with the Nikon, they had the 36 megapixel camera.
Yeah, it's getting out of control.
Mm-hmm. So that's how we get the size of the catch lights. But now, what is other distinctive characteristic of a catch light? What would you suggest?
The other distinct characteristic?
There's a main distinct characteristic that it really affects our perception of it, whether we like it or not.
Hmm. No, I'm drawing a blank.
Position.
Oh, and I was going to say that, but I thought that was wrong. Is that a characteristic? Again, I'm so stupid.
We don't take no for an answer. For whatever reason, I guess just in life, for the most part, in life, the natural catch lights tend to fall at either a 10 or a 2 o'clock position.
Right.
Now, I shouldn't say in life, but... in pleasing situations. For example, if you're shooting at noon, like you're talking about earlier, you're not going to get a 10 o'clock or a 2 o'clock. We're talking about the actual clock, the hands on the clock.
Right.
I don't know if you have an analog clock still.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Next one.
I have my iPhone set to analog, so that's
awesome.
The clock. I don't have an iPhone. But anyways... if you're at noon, the catchlight will be elsewhere, but it's likely not going to be a pleasing image in real life. Like, even in life, if you're looking at people at noon, they don't look good as they do at sunset.
Right.
And so there's an association that we make with the catchlight being at 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock with pleasing images.
I didn't even know we made this connection, so...
Yes, that's what you do.
You're like, you're putting things in my head now.
I guess it's probably some sort of a Pavlovian thing.
Okay, all right.
Whenever I see a catchlight at 10 o'clock, I get hungry.
Perfect.
True story. So it's not a rule, but in this case, it not only is it more pleasing, but it also tends to be slightly more invisible, which is, if you listen back, that's kind of my plan. For the most part.
Right.
So now if you have your flash on camera, it's going to give you little pinpoints in the dead center of your eyes.
Right.
Not awesome. That's if you don't get red eye, which you probably won't if you have an off-camera flash, or an external flash mounted on the camera, you probably won't get red eye.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I honestly can say that I've never gotten a red eye picture from off camera flash.
From off camera or external on camera?
No, from off camera. External on camera, I've gotten red eye lots of times.
Right. Off camera, that's a whole different thing. Red eye is a different, it's a whole different kettle of fish.
Okay, but, so don't worry about trying to explain it to me. I'll just assume that it's for good reason yes. that I don't get the red eye. Yeah.
So on camera flash will give you the little pinpoints in the center, which if you think about it, try it next time you're out shooting ETTL, or look back at some of the pictures you shot today, and you'll probably see that. Like if it's direct flash, which likely is, you're going to see little tiny pinpoints in their eyes, which still work. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, I do that almost never.
What do you
on camera, on axis, right at them? I mean, usually I either bounce it off something to avoid this, mm-hmm. or don't use the flash and try to just jack the ISO up.
But when you're using high speed sync like you did today,
yeah,
that's direct flash, correct?
That's true. Yeah, that is. Yeah. That's a good example. And you get the little pinpoints.
Which are very, you know, because the head of the flash is almost at, you know, it's on axis with the lens. That's why. So it's the angle of incidence is the angle of reflection.
Yeah, you just proved me wrong there. That hurts. I'm so stupid.
Well, we don't take no for an answer. So look back at those pictures. But to me, those are better than nothing. Sometimes, like, I don't mind those. Okay, so but ideally we're going to put the flash off the camera,
right,
and angle it such that not only do we get pleasing lighting, but now we get our catch lights in the 10 o'clock or 2 o'clock position, and life is good.
Okay, so what's the, is just trial and error, or do you have a specific kind of workflow that says, here's how I'm going to get my 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock catch lights?
I have a specific workflow that comes from trial and error.
Okay, so give it to us.
Well, it's you ever play pool?
Yes.
Okay, so there's, again, that goes back to the angles, the angle of incidence.
I call it billiards, though, so.
Oh, okay, you play the fancy. I play snooker.
Okay.
No, I don't. I don't play snooker. That looks, it looks, I don't know. I don't know what it looks like.
Okay.
Wish I hadn't gone down this path. I'm so stupid. Now,
I'm not saying you're lying.
No. So again, it goes back to the angles. Well, the angle of incidence is the angle of reflection. So if you look at whatever angle your light is going to come in, it's going to bounce off your subject to your camera at that same angle. Now, don't spend too much time worrying about that. Just get a visual of it. So what I end up doing is I find that if I put my camera, my flash too far off to the side of the subject,
right,
I just know I'm not going to get good catch lights. It's not going to happen.
Okay.
So generally, I try to position, like, so I find out where my subject is going to be looking. If they're looking at camera, you're likely going to be positioning the flash not very far off of the axis. You're going to kind of keep it very close to the camera. And that's still going to give you nice catch lights. You don't have to go far to get good results.
Right.
Also, if you want to know where your flash is going to hit, get up where your flash is and look at your subject from that perspective.
Okay.
And that's going to give you an idea. So if you can't see a certain part of your subject from that flash position, the light is probably not going to wrap around there.
Right.
Now, if it's soft enough, you might get a little bit of wraparound. But that's a good way to go. Now, the reason we do that is I don't like to have uneven gatch lights. I find that very...
Meaning one eye with it and one without?
Or one eye at like a 9 and the other eye at like a 2.
Oh, okay.
Even that can be distracting if it's too big of a difference. I meant on a 9 out of 10, not on the clock. That was confusing because...
I was just saying yes, yes.
Yes, okay. What I don't want is one eye to be 90% and the other one to only be 20% power.
Oh, I see.
So that, because it will look smaller, it just doesn't look, it's something looks off. When you see the picture, it will look off. And so I try to get them as even as I can. And that comes from generally having the flash not too far off to the side.
Okay, so... What do you think in terms of size of the catch light? Like, what do you prefer? Do you prefer big? Because I know when you go with, a lot of pictures, it almost looks like a sort of sad puppy dog. The catch lights get too big, and it's almost like it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. So do you have kind of in your head kind of the ideal?
Yeah, well, like everybody else, I should have got the medium. Always go for the medium.
Medium, okay.
That's a shout out to Brian Regan, if you know who Brian Regan is. Very funny guy.
I know who he is.
Yeah, I didn't want to steal his stuff. I want to make sure everyone's clear. I'm a big fan. Always go with a medium, but I got to be honest, in this situation, catch lights are usually a byproduct for me. Like, they're a secondary consideration.
Okay.
I'm more concerned about lighting, and I do keep catch lights in mind because I like them, but if I have to sacrifice good lighting for good catch lights, I don't do it.
Right.
So, but I generally like to, I like them to be there, but not overpowering. Again, invisible. Yeah.
Okay.
Yet visible. So, the other thing is you don't need to have off camera flash to get flattering catch lights.
I think you said that, right?
Mm.
With the whole window light and the sun and like.
Okay, let me rephrase that then. You don't need off camera flash to get flattering catch lights using a flash.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you actually mentioned it. You said, generally when you're shooting flash, you don't shoot direct flash. What do?
Right, which is bounce.
You bounce it.
Yeah.
And by bouncing, if you pay attention to where you bounce your light, you can get very good catch lights in the eyes.
Right, because it's coming off of then a big light source too, right?
Yep. Yep, so that's something to pay attention to when you are lighting your subject. Now, again, for the 1,000,000th time, we can mention what little device I like to use when I bounce light.
The black foamy thing.
Black foamy thing. Greatest tip. Listen back if you haven't known what that is. I think did we do a whole episode about it?
Yeah. Oh, we did.
Yeah. So I recommend that always, and that tends to give you really good catch lights if you position it correctly. So.
I also do that.
Now, we talked about the size of the images. How bright should they be? Like, sometimes they could be too bright and kind of blow out.
The catch lights themselves, you mean?
Yeah, what do you do in that situation?
I can't recall that being a problem, but... So I'm going to say I don't know what I would do. Maybe delete the image.
No. Oh, I go the other way. If the image is exposed properly but the catch lights are too hot, I don't care.
Okay.
It's not really an issue for me. It's so what? Move on.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know that I've really even considered that that's an issue, so.
Mhm. Now, the other situation, the last one I can think of, that we could do for catch lights. Well, actually, one of the things that you can use to get nice catch lights if you're shooting bounce flash is they have those cards. You know, the people tape like a white index card to their flash,
yeah,
bouncing straight in the ceiling. I never do that.
Neither do I.
Generally,
I don't really know what that's for.
Well, it basically creates catch lights.
Does it?
Well, should. That's the plan. That's what I always thought.
Okay.
Is that,
I don't know. I've never tried it.
Yeah, you've got, because you're bouncing the flash directly into the ceiling, and then it's supposed to throw a little bit of bounce into the face, but also create a little bit of catch light. But generally, those tend to just kind of, they're not great. I get better results by bouncing off a wall somewhere.
Right.
So I admit to, I usually forget that my flash has that.
Yeah, me too.
So if anybody's out there is using it to great success, we'd love to hear from you. I'm not dismissing it, except in my case, I'm dismissing it for me.
Right.
Right. So the other situation, though, is let's say you're doing some lighting. You got a key light and you have a fill light.
Okay.
There and that are both up front. There are situations where you find that you get a double catch light.
Yes, I've had this happen.
Okay, what do you do?
Sometimes I leave it. Sometimes I've photoshopped two of the catch lights out.
What is it that when you say two, one in each eye? You mean
right? Yeah, one in each eye.
So what do you do? Like, what's your determining factor? But why did you leave some of them? Why did you shop the other ones out?
I think sometimes it looks cool and adds something, and sometimes it looks distracting. And in which case, if I like the rest of the image, I just make a executive decision on it.
Right. My executive decision comes to the fact that if I like the image or not, I Photoshop it out.
Okay.
If I don't like it, I just don't bother. I just forward it as, you know, maybe it's just an okay photo. I'm not going to spend the time. But I generally do the same thing. I Photoshop the fill light out. I keep the key light because tends to ring more true because it's generally the brighter light. Generally, there's no rules, but generally. So I will Photoshop the fill light out. Because sometimes the fill might be at an odd angle. Maybe the fill light's a little bit lower or it's a bounce or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's going to come in underneath and be on like a, whatever the bottom of the clock is, the opposite of 10 and 2.
Sure, 5.
8 and 4, I don't know. But you're right, it can be distracting and less like real life. And that's what I go for. So,
okay.
I think that should essentially cover catch lights.
And I think, you know, most people probably listening to this show are aware of them and are probably using them to some degree, but potentially will look more at how to make them better.
I hope so.
You just made everyone better today.
I did, or I wasted everybody's time.
Well, I think a little bit of both.
Great. Guess what next week's challenge is going to be?
Shiny new bike. Because I'm already done.
Bike photos. Yes.
Yeah.
We're in the market for. We bought a run bike yesterday.
Okay.
Except for, so I would actually participate in this with you, except for it's slightly too large for my daughter.
But she has to grow a little bit.
Well, it was at a flea market, so it was one of those situations where they had one bike. We were looking for one, and it was $5.
You know what? The best thing about that is she'll be the only one with a run bike when she's 11.
It's not that big.
Well, she's just going to grow really slowly.
Oh, so. I see. That would be great. Yeah, no, we might end up just loaning this one out for a while because I don't want to keep it around. But at $5, I couldn't pass it up.
Wow, you're the deal maker.
That's what he was asking. I couldn't even have, what was I going to haggle him to? Four?
$375.
I thought, yeah, but five was even. Like, I would rather pay more and have it be an even number than I could sleep at night.
That's true.
I got weird things. We've talked about this in the past. I got weird number things.
Right.
Like, who buys three apples?
I don't know somebody who doesn't want four.
Insane people buy three. You buy either by two or you buy four. You don't buy three. Who buys three?
But you might buy five apples.
Yeah, I might buy. I'm likely going to buy six. But five, I could see five.
Five, 10, yeah. 15, yeah.
Unless, now here's the key, unless you're really bad at woodwork in grade 8 and cut two of your fingers off, and then it'd be like, yeah, give me three.
Okay, is that a shout out to one of your buddies from shop class?
No, he only cut the one off.
Okay.
That's a true story, though.
No, I'm sure.
He did cut his thumb off. So, what are you going to do?
Do they sew it back on, or he's just thumbless?
He's got a stump.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. 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 Good ball player, though. True story. Yeah.
Wicked kind of curveball.
Yeah, he did. He sure did, actually. Okay, how much more do you want to know? Answer, none. So no, next week, let's do catch lights for next week.
Okay.
Do some good catch lights that are not awful looking.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good challenge, I think.
Okay.
All right. So, Adam, where can people find all your wonderful photos?
Our Two Hosers Facebook page and schwartzchronicles.com.
So if people go to look at their Facebook and go, okay, I'm going to go look at the bike pictures he just posted today, they'll be about 3 weeks old when you hear this.
That's right. Yeah. You'll have seen them probably if you've checked out our Facebook
page. So either that or look back for a few posts ago.
Yes.
So I posted some film ones today, so 3 weeks ago. So you can have a look at those.
Awesome.
As well, along with the bike ones.
Okay.
So and because you asked, yes, you can find my stuff as always at alanadridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything else you want to know about the Facebook, the Google Plus, Twitter, Flickr, iTunes, and all that. So that's it.
Great.
Adam.
Yes.
Adam, you can just let, yes. Yeah. Till next week. Get out there and make better photos.